Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day you've given us, and we thank you for all the many blessings you've given each of us, and we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to come together to study your word. We pray this morning that you be with the other classes that are meeting this morning. We pray that the teachers will lay down a strong foundation for the children to build upon as they grow up and live their lives towards you. We ask that you be with those of our number who are unable to be with us this morning, and we pray you watch over them. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Judah. Let's start in the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 29, we see that, give you a little bit more of a background. Before we jump right into who Judah was, let's just talk a little bit about where he came from, his background. And maybe it'll help us understand a little bit about the man Judah. So in Genesis chapter 29, we have the account of Jacob when he had left his family and went to marry a wife. And he marries not the one he wants to marry. He meets a young woman who is his uncle's daughter, Rachel. He meets her when he's out helping her water the sheep, and he sees her, and he first thing he does, he falls in love with her. You know, he sees her, she's beautiful, gives her a kiss, and he tells her that he is part of the family, and he wants to meet her father. He goes there. Initially, he wants to marry Rachel. Laban, Rachel's father, says okay. At the wedding, it turns out that he actually marries Leah, the sister. The older sister. So he was deceived into marrying Leah. He finds out the next morning that he married, to him, the wrong woman, and he was a little upset. I can imagine, you know, Art, you'd be upset already, I can tell. Ben, what's that? I don't know, maybe they wore burkas, you know, and only had the eyes showing. I don't know why, but He didn't know that it was his. You know, in the scripture it says in the morning he discovered it was Leah. So maybe it was so dark he couldn't see. I don't know. The point is that he married the wrong woman. And what's that? Don't get married in the dark. Okay. But when he agreed to marry Rachel, he agreed to work for Laban for 7 years to pay the price for marrying her. When he found out he had married Leah, he was upset. He talked to Laban about it. Laban said, it's not fair for the older to marry second. You know, the older daughter should marry first. And that was his reasoning behind it. So he strikes another deal with him and says, look, I want to marry Rachel. He says, I'll work another 7 years if you'll let me marry her. So the next week he marries Rachel. So now he has two wives, two sisters. He loves Rachel. He does not particularly love Leah. And so that right there starts this relationship that I think a little bit starts the grounding of where Judah came from. In a relationship that Jacob had with his two wives, one he loved and one he did not love. As time goes on, Jacob begins to start having children with his wives, who, just by knowing the relationship dynamics between the two, who do you think he would rather have children by? Rachel. God doesn't see it that way. He opens up the womb of Leah first and begins the childbearing process with her. He has a son, the first son named Reuben by Leah. He has a second son named Simeon by Leah. A third son named Levi by Leah. A fourth son named Judah by Leah. And then Leah's womb closes up for a while. Rachel is still very unhappy that she hasn't yet had any children for her husband, Jacob. So she offers up her servant, Bilhah, to Jacob as a wife or one to have children through. And Jacob has a child through Bilhah named Dan. Dan is the fifth son. Then Naphtali, the sixth son. Well, I don't know, you know, then next you have Leah offering up her maidservant to Jacob to have children, because she still has not had any more children. So Leah offers up Zilpah, her maidservant, and they have a son named Gad, and then a son named Asher. After this time, Leah is again blessed with another child. She has Issachar and Zebulon. So we're up to 10 sons now. Then they have a daughter. Leah has a daughter named Dinah. It isn't until the 11th child that is born that Rachel finally has a child. She is blessed with a child of Joseph. Joseph is now the firstborn to Jacob in his eyes. Now that is his son of his loved wife. And at that time is when you start seeing that Joseph is being shown favor by Jacob. And that may upset the family a little bit. Right. And I don't know that families back then were much different than families today. In my family, I have people squabble over things. There's people in my family that don't talk to other people in my family over matters that really shouldn't matter. But it's a very sensitive thing, and people in families hold very deep grudges, and it lasts for a very long time. And this started early when Joseph was born. Jacob showed favoritism towards his son, Joseph, and he had always been showing favoritism towards his loved wife, Rachel. And then a little later, we'll see Joseph, he was born to Rachel in, say that again? Genesis 35 is when Benjamin was born. Genesis chapter 30, verse 22 is when Rachel has Joseph. So in Genesis chapter 29 is when we start seeing the marriage of that. Just a little more background before we get into who Judah was. Jacob, as I said, was cheated by Laban. He was deceived by Laban into marrying the wrong woman. And he was mad at this. He was angry at this. This is the first time Jacob has been involved in deceit. Can you think of another time when he was involved in deceit? Well, he deceived his father into thinking that it was his brother offering this meal to him, and getting the birthright away, with the help of his mother. And his mother actually ordered him to do it and said, look, I'll take the curse from this. But, Jacob didn't have been surprised when he got cheated out of something. That's my point. But when you go back to this family idea, families, they remember things from generation to generation. We see Jacob, when living with Isaac, he deceived his father. Okay, then Jacob has his own family. He's being deceived by his father-in-law. Before Jacob, after he has Joseph, he wants to leave Laban and go off on his own back to the family home of his father. And so when he does this, he flees in the middle of the night without telling his father-in-law what he's doing. He deceived Laban into leaving. Not a very good family situation there, I don't see. But that's just the way I was reading it, and thought it was interesting that Judah comes from a family with this type of background, where there's lots of deceit going on, lots of thinking out for your own self before thinking out of others. And that's where Judah comes from. All right, go ahead, Art. Not waiting for God, right? Yeah, he didn't put anybody first but himself. He didn't have God first. Didn't put others second. Self last. Okay, and then under point number one in the book, there's also a statement that says, like then his older brothers, Judah did not receive the birthright. However, lineage of Christ came through him. As you get down into towards the end of Genesis, and when the birthrights and the blessings are given, we see that Judah receives a charge that all of his brothers or men will bow down to him, or they will serve him. He will be like a lion's cub. He will be strong. We see the scepter will not depart from him. So Judah is who Christ comes through. But typically, you know, the birthright goes to the oldest son. So let's just talk a little bit about why that did not happen in this case. Reuben was the oldest son. Why did he not receive the birthright blessing? Okay, he defiled his father's bed. Rachel's servant named Bilhah, Reuben, it says Reuben went into her, that he went into his father's maidservant. He defiled his father by doing that. And when Jacob, before he passes, he remembers that. And he holds it against him and takes away, you know, his initial blessing for that. So then next in line you have Simeon and then Levi. Why did the blessing not go to Simeon? Why did it not go to Levi? Genesis chapter 34, the account of Dinah, which is a daughter of Jacob, a full-blood sister of Levi and Simeon. And Dinah is essentially raped prior to her being married. She's defiled while not being married. And this angers Simeon and Levi. And they devise a plan. Now, the man who did this to Dinah loved Dinah. He wanted to marry Dinah. He asked Jacob if he could marry Dinah. Jacob initially doesn't want to, but they come to an agreement that they'll let Shechem marry her if everyone in the camp is circumcised like they are. So they all agree, and they do that. Well, on the third day, when they're all in pain from having received the circumcision, Simeon and Levi go in, and they slaughter everyone, all the men. Because of that, because of their wrath, because of their anger, they don't receive the blessing. Then Judah, he doesn't receive the full birthright, the full blessing. Who does that go to? Who does the double portion go to? It goes to Joseph, but then to Joseph's sons. Jacob tells Joseph he's taking over his two sons and as his own sons, and he gives the blessing to them. And he actually gives the larger blessing to the younger of the two sons, which angers Joseph a little bit. But anyway, Judah does receive a blessing from his father, and that was that he would be the leader of his people. The scepter would not depart from his house, and any nations would come from him. Okay, now in Genesis chapter 37, we see the account of Joseph being sent out to get his brothers who are tending the flock. Let's just start with verse 1 and read a little bit. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Jason, would you read that for me, please? Let me stop you right there. He was 17 years old. So how old were, say, his older brother might have been? If he was the 11th son, his older brother would have been maybe at least 10 years older than him. So he's, and I didn't go through and actually add up the math to see exactly how old these boys were, but here you have these other brothers who are 27, 28 years old. By that time, they're getting on into being a man. You know, they're getting on to being where they know things. And now you have this 17-year-old favorite son of Joseph, of Jacob, coming to tell them to do something. And it says that Jacob loved him more than the others. In Genesis chapter, chapter 32. Let me go back here. In Genesis chapter 32 and verse 8, Jacob is about to meet his brother Esau. Remember, we talked about that, that his brother Esau, he had deceived the birthright away from him, from his father. And that's when he fled from his homeland and went to marry and start his own family. He's about to go see Esau again, and he's very fearful that Esau is still angry for the things that he has done. So fearful that he's afraid that Esau will kill him when he sees him. So to protect himself, he sends on an envoy of part of his camp in the front with some gifts of flocks and whatnot to keep the anger of Esau away from him. But not only does he do that, he puts space in between his whole camp. And who is at the end of this space? The furthest away from Esau. He has his favored wife, Rachel, and Joseph. Now, as a family, as children, do you see what your parents do? I mean, you see what your parents are doing, right? I mean, I know my kids, they see what we do, and they're the best critics of what we do, and they can tell you what you do right or wrong before you even realize it. Do you think the brothers knew and had some sense of what was going on here, that they were being offered up prior to the favorite son, Joseph? It's just one of those things that would stick in your mind. Another thing that would reinforce why I do not like my brother Joseph. Right, it did. It did manifest itself very deeply. And they didn't have this hatred as much towards their father as they did to Joseph. And Joseph, because of the jealousy, Joseph really didn't do anything. He might have been a brat when he was a kid, I don't know. But he didn't do anything to bring this on himself. It was really brought on because of the way his father treated him in front of the rest of the family. Right. She said Jacob grew up in the same type of situation where he was shown favoritism between his parents. So maybe you could say it was natural that he treated his family this way. That doesn't mean that it's right. We'll see that it's not good. Just a little bit of background on it. That's what that is about, who Judah was and where he came from, the background that he came from, to help lend to you the idea of why he hated his brother. All right, so back in Genesis chapter 37, Jason, would you finish reading that, please? Okay. Just go through 4. Okay. Just says here that the brothers hated him. Brothers saw this love that they had, and they hated him. Next, we have the account of the dream that Joseph had. He had 2 dreams, and he told his dreams to his brothers. They already hated him. Prior to this dream, they already hated him. Right. And so this dream, he said that he sees that they are going to essentially be bowing down to him. And not only that, but then there's the dream of the sun, the moon, and then the 11 stars. They're all bowing down to him. And that even makes his father upset a little bit. Because essentially he's saying that the father, the mother, and all the 11 brothers are going to bow down to Joseph. Now, of course, we know later what that means when Joseph is in charge of Pharaoh's kingdom and all the stores, and brothers come to Egypt to get food, right, to buy grain, and they bow down to Joseph. And so the dream is realized at that time, at least to Joseph, and then to the others later when it's revealed to them who Joseph is. Okay, so Joseph goes to check on his brothers. And what do his brothers do to Joseph before he even gets there? What do they decide they want to do before he reaches them when they see him afar off? Right, they want to kill him and then dispose of his body in a pit or a cistern. And then they want to tell his father, look, he got killed by a wild animal. So before he even reaches them, they want to kill him. They conspire together to kill him. How is his life saved, first of all? His oldest brother, Reuben, says, look, let's don't kill him. Let's just throw him in the pit. We're not going to kill him. He's the one that steps forward and says, look, we don't want to kill him. So they don't kill him. But what they end up doing is throwing him in the pit. They kill a goat. They take the blood from the goat. They dip his coat in it. And then they decide they're going to tell the father that he was killed by a wild beast. But it's Judah. It's Judah's idea to sell him to the Ishmaelites, to the traders, to those who are going into Egypt. It was his idea to do that. So Judah got the consensus together of his brothers that that's what they were going to do. The traders came by, they sold him, took him off into slavery, and that's the end of the story for Joseph, as far as the brothers are concerned. He's dead, he's gone, you know, history. He's history. We don't worry about him anymore. They go to their father and they explain to him. Of course, the father's bereaved. And he lost his favorite son of his favorite wife. So that's the end of the story as far as Joseph is concerned at that point in time. So then let's get back on track with what Judah does. So in Genesis chapter 38. Let's go to Genesis chapter 38. Any questions up to this point? Comments? Judah, it says in Genesis 38, starting in verse 1, it happened at that time that Judah went down from his brothers and turned aside to a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. There Judah saw the daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. He took her hand and went into her, and she conceived and bore a son. And he called his name Ur. He conceived again and bore a son. She called his name Onan. Yet again she bore a son. She called his name Shelah. Judah was in Chezib when she was born. So what are some points about what Judah did? Remember, we talked about before, who was Judah thinking of primarily in his life?
Himself.
Where should have Judah gone to find a wife? Where should he have not gone to find a wife? I don't think he really should have gone to find a wife of a certain Canaanite. But he was thinking of himself. He did that on his own. Just a little bit of background of who Judah was. He was thinking of himself. He left his brothers and went down and found a wife. He had three sons, Ur, Onan, and Shelah. Ur had a wife named Tamar. Ur was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord put him to death. I don't know exactly what he did, other than being evil in the sight of the Lord, but it caused swift and certain death to him. Okay, may have been what he didn't do. And we could probably talk a little bit about why Ur was that way. Perhaps the example he had from his father. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why he grew up that way. Not knowing God, not putting God first, putting himself first, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, God put him to death. But there was a problem there. Ur had already taken a wife. The wife had not had any children yet. What's the problem with that? What's the problem with the wife not having any children yet? No heir. So what does Judah do? Does what any good father would do. He gives a second son to that widowed wife and says, take care of your obligation here and give a son or a child to Tamar so she can carry on your brother's name. Without going into too many details, Onan doesn't fulfill his part of the deal. He's supposed to help Tamar conceive, and he wastes on the ground, and therefore there's going to be no child, and the Lord strikes him dead. Two out of three sons are dead. Why are both of his sons so rotten? Perhaps, again, the example of their father Judah. Perhaps they see that that's just how it's supposed to be. So Judah decides, look, I'll give my youngest son to you. But the youngest son is not old enough to perform his duty to give her another son. So the daughter-in-law has to just wait. She gets tired of waiting. She knows Judah is going off on a trip. She dresses herself up as a temple prostitute, waits outside by the gate, knowing that Judah's going to come along, and being man of the time, I guess, he goes with this temple prostitute, and he conceives. But before that happens, she asks Judah that she wants some sort of payment, some sort of guarantee of who she's with. And he gives her a ring and his rod and a cord. He says he'll give that back to her, A little while later, Tamar comes up pregnant. I don't think Judah's really liked Tamar this whole time anyway. She's kind of a thorn in his side. She's badgering him for a son, for a child. She didn't get one through Ur. She didn't get one through Onan. She's having to wait for Shelah. She's a real nuisance to him. And now she's pregnant. He's ready to have her executed, to have her killed for being a harlot, for doing something that a woman in her state shouldn't have done. So he's ready to put her to death. And she says, now, wait a minute. the child that I'm carrying belongs to the man who owns this signet ring, this cord, and this staff. And it turns out to be Judas. Can you imagine the surprise he felt? Who would have thought that it would have come back to bite him like that? No? Again, that's what he gets for thinking of himself. God had something in mind. God had a plan in mind. We know that she had two sons, Perez and Zerah, and that through one of those sons, Christ's lineage can be traced back to. So God had in mind for the lineage to come through Judah's sons. It took a weird way to get there, but it happened. You can't change God's plan necessarily. You know, you can do things your own way, but God's will still overcome. Go ahead, Joe. Good point. Art.
It shows that.
Right. And God uses imperfect men, and we see that, and women throughout the scriptures to make His will happen. Peter is a good example. David is a good example. Rahab is a good example of people who weren't really the best of people at all the times, and yet they still did good things in the sight of God. They changed their life. Shows how God can make good out of bad. Okay. And I'll bet there's people in this assembly this morning who have done things in their past that they're ashamed of, that they've changed. They've grown out of that. Just like we're going to see that Judah grew away and grew out of those things and got his life back towards putting God first, putting others second, putting himself last. We'll see that he ended up doing that. It took him a while. It took him a long path to get there. Well, that's right. And it's fortunate we have these examples of things that happened in the private lives of some of these biblical characters. We wouldn't have known about what happened with Judah and Tamar if the Scriptures hadn't revealed that to us. I don't know that anybody else was really there to have witnessed that. Can you imagine if someone were to open a book and read about the stuff that you did? It'd be easy for us to critique the things that I did if somebody were able to read it and say, well, right here in this chapter and this verse, you did this and that. I'm thankful that y'all don't have that book. And there's some people in here who know parts of that book. But, it's fortunate that we have these examples that we can learn from them and see that God uses imperfect people to accomplish His will. And that also is a blessing for us to know that we don't have to... We need to strive to be perfect, but God can still use us if we keep ourselves in path with Him. Art?
Well, maybe never things were written before.
Right. Point. So after the scandal of Judah having incestuous relations with his daughter-in-law and end up having two sons by that relationship, we come to the account of Genesis chapter 42 where there is famine in the land. And not just the land where Jacob and his sons are living. There's famine in the known world, except for, there's even famine in Egypt. I mean, there's famine everywhere. But if you go back in between Genesis 38 and Genesis 42, you have the account of Joseph, and he had the dream of the seven years. So for 7 years he stored up, and then 7 years there was going to be famine. What's that? Yes, it was Pharaoh's dream, and Joseph interpreted it. That's correct. So we're at the time of famine, and Jacob and his family have run out of food. They've run out of grain. So Jacob gathers up his sons, and he sends them to Egypt to buy grain. How many of his sons does he send? He sends 10. Does it matter which 10 he sends? I mean, can you see what he did again? Right, he kept Benjamin back because he was the son of Rachel, the brother of Joseph, but most importantly, the son of Rachel, the wife that he loved, the wife of his youth, the wife he loved. He's still showing favoritism to his sons. Even though he's already lost a son, he's still showing favoritism. He doesn't realize that's why he lost his son, because he was showing favoritism, but that's what happened. But he sends his sons down to Egypt to buy grain. Genesis chapter 42. They go into the land of Canaan, from the land of Canaan into Egypt to buy food. And who do they meet? They don't realize they're meeting, but who do they meet? They meet Joseph. Of course, they ask him to buy food. He sells it to them. But not before he accuses them of being spies. He accuses them of spying out the land. He knows who they are, but he's testing them. They don't know who he is. Right. They accuse him, Joseph accuses them of being spies, of coming to search out the land, to come in and take over the land. They say, look, we're not that. He starts interrogating them, asking them questions. He says, well, then who are you? He says, we have a father back in the land of Canaan, and we are of 12. There's 12 brothers. One is no more with us, and the other one is back with our father. And they answer all these questions to Joseph. So they're allowed to buy grain and take it back to their home place, except that Joseph keeps Simeon in jail or enslaves him until they return. And he says, Simeon's going to be with us until you come back with your youngest brother, Benjamin. They go on back. When they get on their way back, they find out that their money has been put back in the sack. They're scared. They think that they may be thought of as thieves. They go back. They tell Jacob what had happened. Jacob says, no way am I letting you take Benjamin back with you. It's almost like he doesn't care that his other son, Simeon, is locked up in jail. And he would rather that son be lost than to lose his beloved son, Benjamin, from his wife that he loved so much, Rachel. They eventually run out of food. Okay, they run out of food. Jacob finally says, all right, you can take him back. But only because Judah now has grown up a little bit. Judah is looking out for the interest of the entire clan, all of the family, for everyone. And he pleads with Jacob, you let us take Benjamin back, because the family will starve if you don't let us take him back. And I guarantee you his life, that he will return. We'll bring him back safe. I guarantee we'll do that. I'll take care of him. Judah steps forward. The same one who decided to sell Joseph into slavery. The same one who took his daughter-in-law, not knowing that he did it. But a guy who always put himself first, Judah, is now putting the whole family in front of him, his own self and his own needs and his own wants, wanting to take care. So he's grown up a little bit. He has matured. You all know the rest of the story, but Benjamin goes with them. They get the food. They end up bringing their whole family into Egypt. But what lessons can we learn from Judah and make application to our own self? Okay, we should put God first. Now, that sounds very simple. Is it as simple as you just said? What's that? It's easier for you, yourself, to come first to yourself. And I believe that's true for me. I don't understand. I can look at other people who I see as, pillars in the church and righteous, what I think, and probably easier for them. But when I talk to different ones, they say, well, it's really not. It's something everybody struggles with, to put God first. We need to put God first in our lives and not put ourselves first. Judah eventually did that, but it took him a long way to get to that point. He was hard-headed. If you're going to put God first, you should put others second. Put others in front of yourself, which we also see that Judah did. He put the welfare of his family, of the whole clan, of all of his father's and children and family before his own needs, in wanting to take Benjamin back to get food, to bring the family food and help them live. When studying Judah and seeing that how he had matured and how he had grown, it was struck me a little bit that Jacob never reached that point. Jacob lived to be 180 years, and he seemed to always put himself first. And I'm not trying just to second guess him, but Judah, it seems like he grew up and matured a little more than his father did in putting others before himself and those around him. Now, can we see the plan of God involved in this? Yes. You know, we see that Judah was one of the brothers who sold his, Joseph into slavery. And Joseph tells him, you didn't sin against me. You were actually protecting the family. God had a purpose in sending me to Egypt to protect the family. So you were just, we're just part of that plan. And Joseph understood that, but it took him a while. You know, the pain and suffering that Joseph went through because of Judah's actions. Judah sold him into slavery. When he got into slavery, he was in charge of Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife went after him. He ended up going to prison. Joseph spent a lot of hard years of his life because of what Judah had done. Well, eventually it came out that Judah had wised up. When meeting with Joseph at that time when he was going to get the grain, he finally broke down and admitted all the things he had done and asked for forgiveness. But we do see a change in Judah. Are there any other comments about Judah? Something I'm missing, if anyone can see that? Lord? Right, yeah, that is interesting that Judah, even the thought that would come into Judah's mind to take after his brother's wife, because really all he cared about was himself, it seemed like. So maybe that's one reason why they didn't do what his father wanted them to do. Point. All right. We've got like 3 minutes. Done. When? Possible. Yep. Possible that Judah's sons rebelled against him because of the consequence of him marrying a Canaanite woman. Yeah. Well, I learned a little bit about Judah that I didn't already know. I didn't realize that he had such a long tail in growing up and becoming the man that he was. And I never really connected that Judah actually did the stuff he did as far as pleading for Benjamin to go with him to Egypt. I didn't realize that had played such an important role and how that had taken place and that he was the one responsible for that. So, and it was also interesting to me to see how the other brothers had lost their place in the birthright and the blessing that were given out. All right, any other comments or questions? We'll be done.